Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you still have a job. I still have a job. Our days may be numbered. We're going to figure that out today. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Pulse check on Chris. Chris, you doing okay? Wellness check.
Hi, everyone. I'm here. Let's move on.
Okay, that's enough. Everyone, we are joined again today, a repeat guest from the great Fred Valais from Silicon Valleys from Optimizer is joining us. Fred was one of the first 500 employees at Google. Then he co-founded Optimizer, which you guys have heard us talk about on this show. And then he's got a new book out, Digital Marketing in an AI World, Future-Proofing Your PPC Agency. It's on Amazon Kindle, and it's real. It's on paperback. It's got a physical book as well. Fred, thank you for coming back on the Paid Search Podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me again.
This is awesome. Thank you for coming back. We're looking forward to finding out if we're going to have incomes and jobs in 5 years with the AI world.
Yeah, so I think you will. You'll just have to do a little bit of work to get there.
Well, we're going to have to figure that out. But Fred, thank you for joining us. Was preparing for this interview last night, and we talked by email, and it's a lot of like, hey, Fred, thanks for coming on our show. We'll do it at this date, at this time. And then I look on Twitter and I look at your schedule and all that. It's not just like you're jumping on our little show here at this time, at this day. You've got a busy schedule. You've been in different cities in the last 24 hours. So why don't you tell us about the conference where you just were, and I'd be interested to know how that went and what's kind of the overall buzz out there about AI.
Yeah, so I just came back from Seattle where we had SMX Advanced for 2 days. And the opening keynote on the PPC track actually was led by Ginny Marvin, and she talked pretty extensively about automation and how all of this change is happening, and there's no way back. We got to figure out how to deal with it. And was very fortunate she mentioned my book in that opening keynote. And then we had a guy from Google, a search evangelist, come up, Nick, and he basically talked about giving the machines a little bit more leeway in terms of figuring out how to do the most with your budgets. So interesting chat about that. And then, you know, what I love about SMX Advanced is the advanced stuff, right? So Andreas Reifen from Crealytics was there. And as always, he brought some really good new slides and an investigation of reverse engineering TROAS, one of the smart bidding strategies, kind of comparing it to manual bidding. And I know you guys do some manual bidding here and there, so but he was basically laying it out, like what's the benefit versus the downside of that.
That's interesting. Yeah. I Ginny sounds like a nice person. I'm sure she's a great person, but in my world, I just, every time I see her, it's bad news. I see her on search engine land and she's like, hey, Jason, guess what? Average position, it's going away. Hey, Jason, guess what? Yeah. People in targeted location, that's becoming people in your targeted location or who are sometimes in your target location. So she's kind of
Don't shoot the messenger though, right?
Yeah, don't shoot the messenger.
Thank her for actually telling us this is happening, because without her, you wouldn't even know this was happening.
Exactly. Like every time there's like breaking news, it's pretty much, here's what we do on our show. We have a news section. I see what Ginny was saying, and then we share her article here on the show because she always seems to have the inside scoop.
She's on top of it.
I've just been seeing a lot of her lately because there's a lot of changes. But I guess that's what we're going to get into today. Like everything's changing and it's changing fast. And so as AdWords professionals, PPC professionals, whether it's a consultant or a large agency, we got to be ready for them. So Fred, your book, Digital Marketing in an AI World, Future-Proofing Your PPC Agency. So you're the co-founder of Optimizer. You've got a day job, if you will. You're very successful, very busy. My question to you, why do you write this book? Writing a book is hard. I've written a book. People know it's not always about like selling copies and making money. That's not what most people write books for. So there's obviously some kind of motivation pushing you. There's something inside of you that you wanted to tell the world. So what's that message that you kind of want to tell the world? What drove you to write a book, which is a really hard thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all kind of came from writing for Search Engine Land on a monthly basis. And some months you're struggling to figure out like what's a topic that's going to be of interest to the broad PPC community. And so at one point I started thinking about artificial intelligence and all this automation and what it really meant for people's jobs. And I started writing, and next thing I knew I was like at 5,000 words. And it's like, okay, basically this is no longer one blog post. This is three blog posts. So published those, and those actually became some of the most read contributed articles on search engine land in the year that I published those. And so that told me, like, this is actually a topic that resonates with people, where people might actually have a lot of questions around what should I be thinking about, what should I be doing. And I said, well, yeah, this is a great foundation for that book. Let me go a little bit deeper and let me share the message as broadly as I could. And like you said, it's not really so much about selling the book as another way to get that message out there, that there are things we can prepare for to really be very successful in this more automated world. But you kind of have to understand where we came from, where we're going based on how Google tends to think. And then that informs us how to get ready for it.
So Fred, I'm a simple guy. I'm from Texas. You know, I like steaks and I like books and I like to work in my yard. So, you know, you guys talk the fancy talk, you talk about AI, and I get confused. You know, I get worried because I don't really understand. What I want to know is, when you say AI, it's almost like I want a list in my head. Like, is this AI? Is this not AI? Because AI is such a big term. It's kind of all-consuming for a lot of things. So manual bidding, not AI. But when you hit the checkbox to enable the enhanced CPC, is that AI? Is maximized conversions considered AI? Or is this all like low-level stuff and there's even, you know, much higher-level things than that that's really, truly considered AI? So, you know, for our simple listeners, I relate to you, and I just, what does AI in general mean?
And I like steak and I like working in my yard, so I don't think that makes us simple, Chris.
Okay,
it just
good.
Makes us good people. But yeah, so AI has been around actually since the 1950s as a term, and it's meant quite a few things. And at the most fundamental level, if you program a machine to behave in a way that somebody might look at it and think, oh, it's intelligent, then you've made artificial intelligence. So it could be something as simple as you going into Google Ads and setting up a bunch of automated rules and turning those on. And so to your client, you would say, hey, look, the account by itself is kind of making decisions based on a query that had too many clicks, not enough conversions, and it automatically shut it down. That's AI at some level. It's very basic AI, but you could still define it as artificial intelligence, right? But where I think it's more interesting is, what's really the leading edge of AI that Google is using today? And most of that is based on machine learning, which is a subset of AI. And it's very statistics driven. It's very mathematical. And they all tend to be very specific solutions. So when you said, which of these bid management systems is AI? Also, target ROAS, target CPA, maximize conversions. These are all based on machine learning and the machine finding trends and the massive amount of data that Google has, right? But they do bid management. They don't think about budgets necessarily. They don't think about query management. They don't think about targeting. And so for that, Google has different systems. So if you think of close variant keywords, so the close variant variation of exact match keywords, that's also machine learning. It's artificial intelligence. That's Google figuring out, oh, if somebody typed this in, is that likely to mean the same thing as the keyword that you have? And so what's interesting is that you get all these point solutions, but usually when you think about AI and you look at movies, there's a humanoid robot. There's like something that looks like us that kind of does everything we do. But here what we have is actually like these very specific solutions that do little things or the parts of what we do, but they don't do everything together. And I think that's where the human still has such a big role to play nowadays, is kind of putting those pieces together.
Yeah, Fred, with the word AI and machine learning, I know as an agency owner talking to business owners, to clients who are not educated in this world, I know that I can say AI, machine learning. And even if I don't know what that even means, I can sound smart to a client and get their business. And so it feels like to me in the PPC world right now, every agency I'm competing with is an AI machine learning wizard. And I feel left behind because I just manage Google Ads and I try to do a good job, but I'm not writing my own algorithms every day. And so I guess my question to you, in terms of like people's impressions in this industry of PPC and Google Ads, do you think the word AI is like, and machine learning, is it misused?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You think it's misused? And
I mean, listen,
why do you think that?
Well, a couple of years ago, it was all about big data, right? So that was the term that was being thrown around. Now everybody throws around AI and machine learning. But there's a great quote, I think it was by the founder of Twilio, and he basically said, today, to say that your agency uses machine learning is like saying that your agency uses electricity.
Right.
Because AI is so deeply embedded in so many of the things that you use that you're using it. If you're using Google Ads, you're using AI, machine learning by default. Now, how you understand it and how you pick the right pieces of machine learning to solve a problem, that's what's going to make your agency unique. And so at some level, like, we're not expecting agencies to build their own machine learning models, but you got to understand how each of the models works, the pieces they might be missing, and how you add more of those missing pieces to the equation. And that way you deliver more results for the clients that you have or for the in-house, if you're an in-house team.
In your book, you wrote that you wanted to write this book a couple years ago, but things were just moving so fast in machine learning and AI at Google. You felt like if you just waited a couple years, we'd be a lot further along. So can you kind of give us an idea, and I'm going to tie this into like basically how scared all of us should be.
Yeah.
Like, where are we? Like, is it like, oh, the systems can figure out that a search term is a good search term and the systems can scan a website and come up with ad copy and there's still a lot for the AdWords manager to do? Or are we all the way to where, I guess it was Eric Schmidt's vision of Google, where you tie Google to the client's bank account and then press go and Google gets great results on its own for the client? Like, that's what scares me as an AdWords manager. Yeah. A plumber with a plumber's crack, his pants hanging halfway down his butt, gets on his computer, goes to Google Ads, presses go, ties his credit card, and then starts getting great leads from a Google Ads campaign. How close are we to that? And in terms of our jobs, is it ever going to get there? Are we going to be totally replaced? Or do you think there's always going to be a role for us?
Yeah, so many layers to that question, right? So,
well, I'm very nervous, Fred. I mean, this, we joke about it, but like, I'm 30 years old.
Yeah, you got a long way to go, right?
And that's
why I wrote the book, exactly, because like, we got 30 years ahead in our careers, and this is what we've invested so much time and passion into. Like, and I've been doing PPC for 20 years, and I love it. And it's like, am I going to be able to continue doing this? And that's where I have the luxury of leading Optimizer and actually being afforded some time to think bigger picture and figure out where we're going, right? So, but here's what I think. So on the plumbing example, it used to be that you couldn't really turn it on and expect Google to drive any sort of good results using automation. I think they're getting pretty close to having average results in the scenario that Eric Schmidt was describing, that one TGIF, that's the Thank God It's Friday meeting they did every week, where he was like, yeah, just tell us what your goal is, give us a blank check, and we'll make sure that we drive results because the machine's going to be smart enough. But those are average results, right? And so if it's a big enough plumber, they probably want to be better than average. And so they might come to an agency and they might say, and this is actually a fascinating example that I heard at one point, but as a plumber, you have six vans driving around town trying to find that next job. If you can create a system that does geo-targeting based off of the GPS signal of wherever the plumber is doing their job and boost the bids in a 5-mile radius, to get to next jobs where they don't have to drive across town for 45 minutes. Like, that's a huge win, right? Google's not doing that, but that's what we as agencies, we could actually say, listen, that's the strategy you got to take. We can help you implement some of the technology. So if we have a feed of your GPS and plumber locations, we can build a little automation that actually does the bid boosting through tools like Optimizer or through ad scripts that you've built. And that's a huge value add, because that van example, that applies to plumbers, but it has no bearing on 99% of the other industries, right? But they have other things they could do. And that's where the value that we have is still going to be.
And for simple old Jason and I, I'm lumping you in with me, Jason. So I hope you appreciate that. That sounds terrifying, because I cannot implement a GPS type of system for my clients. I mean, it's just not possible for me. So talking about small agencies, you know, I assume this is the kind of thing where you have to find some type of third party source, or, you know, things like that are just completely outside of our sphere. So as we start moving forward into heavier and heavier AI, I mean, is that even something, are we even going to be able to compete?
Yeah. And so I'm sorry if I'm scaring people here, but the point is not that the point is not that you have to be the one implementing the solution. And so at, mm-hmm. at one point in the book, we talk about the three roles that humans are going to play, right? One of those roles is the doctor. And I think you guys are probably the perfect doctor. So you understand the potential solutions, the potential strategies to solve the client's needs. Now, a doctor prescribes drugs, but they didn't spend $20 billion and 10 years developing these drugs. But that optimizers come up with this solution and somebody else has come up with that solution. And Google Ads has these five types of bid management. And if you put X, Y, and Z together, it's the perfect solution, the perfect cure for what ails your client. And so your job then becomes explaining it to them and maybe saying, listen, you've got a pretty big problem. It's not going to be a cheap drug. It's not going to be a cheap tool. It's not going to be a cheap build out, but we can do it. And this is what we think you should do. And then you can also keep monitoring it, of course, and make sure that, you know, quote unquote, patient actually becomes better through what you prescribe them.
Yeah, I think to some extent, friend, I'm already doing this because, like, I work with Optimizer, I work with Google Ads, and I combine those tools for clients. And, like, I've had clients where I think Google Ads is going great for them. I'm having a hard time kind of getting them on board. And one of the, it's a very low level thing here, but one of the things that helps is showing them the phone calls that come in. Mm-hmm. So as the doctor, I was able to know, okay, you need website conversion call tracking. They're not really going to be able to pull that from their account and know how to put it on their website. I do that. And then I work with Optimizer. I say, hey, in the reports, it would be awesome if I could get a call log of all the calls. And I've used that and it's an automated report. It's automated in that sense. It goes right to the client. And now I have a client that sees their phone calls. And I guess in Google Ads, probably 3 years ago, that whole process wasn't possible. So it does sound scary, but I think if you're in it every day as small managers like Chris and I are, you can't help but kind of find solutions and work with the tools that are given to you. So
exactly.
Let me ask you a very specific one, Fred. This is kind of one of the biggest things we talk about on our show. So, like, we do an episode every week, and about 50% of our episodes are listeners writing in going, hey, Google came out with a new automated bidding strategy. It's awesome. I want to use it. How are you guys using it? What are your recommendations? And then we go, well, we don't really use automated bidding strategies, smart bidding strategies, because we like doing manual bids and it just works for us and we're getting great results. So we're going to keep doing it. And when you select manual bids now in Google, you have to, like, break down the whole system to find it. And then once you finally find manual bids, they have a big warning that says, do not use this strategy will suck. And yeah. It's like, you have to override that. And it's basically what they're saying. And so my question to you is, as we record this in 2019, are Chris and I cavemen? Are we crazy for using manual bids? Or have you heard from other advertisers that they like manual bids and still get good results from them? And how these smart automated strategies, are we just not using them right? Or do they sometimes not knock it out of the park?
I mean, I think it's totally reason. So, okay, I've written an article that says there is no legitimate reason to do manual bidding. Okay.
I know. I try not to think about that right. When we have you on, but I know you wrote that article. Right. I didn't take it as a personal shot, but I know it's out there.
Right. And what that means, though, is when you say manual bidding, you're probably still using some tools that you leverage to pre-filter the results, to find the things that you should pay attention to. Because honestly, if you're going to manage an account with a million keywords, like, it's not truly manual, right? Like, you're running some filters, some automated decisions, and it's kind of your brain figuring
out.
That's
what it is. Yeah. Conditions. It's our experience. That's exactly. Why we're confident to do it.
And so that's a rules-based automation as opposed to kind of like this machine learning. Let's find a signal. And sometimes that makes total sense. And so you're saving time, but putting your expertise to bear on the problem. And that's valuable. Because this is the thing that Google often kind of misses, I think, is if a smaller client goes and does automated bidding, well, sure, machine learning is going to figure it out, but it could take $1,000. It could take $5,000 of random experimentation, and not totally random, right? But not as targeted as what you guys would start with. And eventually it figures out, oh God, this is a crappy query. Like, let's get rid of this. Or this is a bad time of day. Let's get rid of it. But you guys might have already known based on the fact you work with a ton of other clients in that space. And so you said from the start, okay, let's exclude these times. Let's exclude these audiences and then go and automate it. And so that $1,000 worth of testing to Google, it's like, well, that's nothing, right? Like, you should just spend that. to a client, that's $1,000 of real money. Mm-hmm. It's usually the business owner. Like, that's straight out of their pocket. That matters a lot to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you think automated has more room to improve?
Absolutely. And so And we're seeing this even at GML, right? So the Google Marketing Live event that happened in May, their automated bidding now has new capabilities like seasonality bid adjustments, conversion rules, where you can basically say, I'm going to count a conversion differently if it came from an existing client versus a new client or on one specific device type, campaign level conversions. So this is all ways for Google to say, listen, there's something that you as the agency, as the business know about what success means. And these are just better ways to communicate that back into the system so that the system can then make those decisions. But basically garbage in, garbage out. If you have an incomplete picture of what the client actually wants, there is no way for machine learning to give you great bid management in that situation.
Mm. So to make sure I get the right headline on my next blockbuster blog, mm-hmm. I want to make sure. Fred Vallee says, clients spending under $1,000 should use manual bidding, right? That's the headline I should use to get all the clients bait.
Spending under $1,000 should go to an agency that specializes in that industry.
That's okay. That's the headline. All right. Got it.
I want to get into the roles of humans in an AI world, because that was the part that really connected with me and kind of guided me on how I should think about my job for the next decade. But before we get into those roles, can you kind of give people just an overview of what machines are good at versus what people are good at? Because you talked at the top of the show about like AI, because of movies, because of the hype out there, we think it's like a droid that looks just like us and does everything we do like a million times better, and we're totally replaced. But through reading your book, you made a point to say, hey, no, machines do some things way better than people, but people also still do some things better than machines. So in a PPC manager context, like, what is that breakdown? What are the different roles as you see them for machines versus humans?
Right. So I think machines quite obviously are better at math. And then math extends into statistics. And humans are notoriously crappy at doing statistics. Even professional statisticians, you can ask them a series of questions and they will make very incorrect decisions that have, you know, where they statistics are completely out the door, right? Machines are rigorous in that respect. And machines are also capable of analyzing a lot more data. And so here's one of the, I can't remember if I put this in the book or in one of my blog posts, but basically if you have a single keyword and you think about all of the bid adjustments that you could set on a geographic basis, a time of day basis, a device basis, you quickly run into 180,000 plus bids that you should be setting for a single keyword. And that's not even considering all the queries that come off of that. Right. So for us as humans to think about that, that's like beyond what we're capable of processing. And that's where the machine's really good. But on the flip side, the machine, if you don't give it good inputs, doesn't even know where to start. And so I think ads are a perfect example, specifically RSAs, responsive search ads. So it's machine learning that figures out which headlines to combine with which descriptions and hopefully give you great results. Now, a lot of people complain, my results are not that good. And they blame the machine. But have they looked at, did you actually give the machine viable, competitive headlines that it could do something with, right? And that's what we humans are good at, understanding who's our audience, who are we selling to, what matters to them. And so at SMX, I actually did a panel, the SEM Tune-Up Clinic. And it's interesting because you see ads for a variety of products and they tend to be very dry and like factual. It's like, okay, here's kind of like the attributes of this product that we're selling. But I'm like, who's the decision maker? Who's interacting with that ad? Is it the CEO of the company? Or is it the person who's been tasked to investigate more about that product and that capability? And they're going to have very different things they care about. And so as humans, we know what might potentially connect. And so we're better at feeding the machine the things to test. But then once it comes to the testing and putting the right thing in front of the right person, that's what the machine's really good at.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you did put that in your book about all the different ways that you can kind of mess with one keyword in terms of bidding, device, income, zip code, all that kind of stuff. And one of the biggest problems Chris and I see as we get into kind of small advertisers' accounts are people have so many options. They're like totally messing with their account. And one of the biggest questions we get are like, hey, I want to turn off 25 to 34-year-olds, but leave on 35 to 44. And then I turn off these zip codes. And then from 2 to 3 p.m., I drop my bids. But from 3 to 4, I raise them. And there's really no real statistics based behind it. It's all kind of just their feel. But it just totally messes things up. And one of Chris's and I's biggest advice on the show is like, or not advice, but just telling people what we do. We're very hesitant when we do manual bids to totally mess around with geo bids and zip codes and time of day and all that, because we know that our brains are not good enough to factor in all those combinations. And then we're not good enough to know, is it 10 clicks that's the threshold or 20 clicks? So it's good to know machine learning. Yeah, play that role for
and
us.
And I bet your client in that situation is like, oh, we never get calls between 12 and 1. Like over the lunch hour, nobody calls us. So turn it off. But guess what? People didn't make a decision to call you between 12 and 1. Like the average person does something like 190 searches, even for the most mundane things they're going to purchase. So right. If you were present like 7 days ago when they started thinking about whatever they needed, like then obviously you're not going to get that call at that time. So And that's also hard for people to understand, like what's that sequence that users go through before they eventually arrive at calling, clicking. And that's why the whole last click attribution is so dangerous, because if you just base it off of when did my conversion actually happen, what was the last thing the person did, it completely ignores everything before that. And so the benefit here in manual bidding is that if you look at a keyword and it's highly related to what your client is selling, but it's got no conversions, you're probably smart enough to say, that's probably an upper funnel keyword. It's probably driving some activity. The machine, on the other hand, if you said it's last click attribution, automate bidding, it says, oh, no value coming off of this, so turn it off or bid it all the way down. And that's, again, where it's sort of, you have to understand how the systems interact. So how does attribution modeling interact with bid management? Because if you don't understand those two and you just automate one thing, but not the other thing, bad things can happen.
Yeah. Right. And that reflects a lot on what I think makes me and probably Jason fail a lot at some of this AI stuff, is that I take the lessons learned from manual bidding and, you know, just brunt force of just beating a campaign down and making it perform, because I'm going through the search terms. I'm making sure that everything is as clean as it can be and it's bragworthy. It's so, I mean, like the best ads and the best search terms. And then I take those lessons learned and I think, okay, I'm going to turn on maximize conversions. And it's still on last click attribution. And it's still on a set bidding strategy for demographics or location or devices. So you're saying oftentimes when you apply an AI system to something that you might be doing entirely manually, it might be worth duplicating the campaign and cleaning the slate and letting some of those things go, rather than applying AI to something that you've been manually working with on your own.
Exactly. Some of those manual adjustments would go away anyway once you turn on the machine learning system. And again, so I mean, I think there is a lot of value to you having figured out, as a smart human, like what are the likely conditions that we need to have before we even advertise, right? But then the nuance of exactly what's the query, exactly what's the right bid adjustment. Because keep in mind too, like the bid adjustments we set, they all combine together. Mm-hmm. But for every single auction that happens, every single specific search, it's just taking the combination of those things, but it's not figuring out, okay, for this one query, this is the right bid. And that's the kind of thing Google can do. And that's why I am a fan of Google's automations. Like they're the company with the most data. They're the company with the most ability to actually set the bids in real time. But they're also missing a whole bunch of inputs that you as the agency could bring into the equation. And let me give you a simple example of that, right? So say that you have a hotel client and they're going to run a big special over a weekend. The conversion rate prediction system that's being used by the machine learning doesn't know about this. And so it might take 2 or 3 days to realize, oh, wow, the conversion rate just shot up. And so 2-3 days after your weekend sale started, the sale, by the way, is now over, it says, oh, we should start bidding more for this because it's converting really well. And so now you've wasted the opportunity of the weekend with a high conversion rate because the bid management system was still fairly conservative. And then after the opportunity's passed, now it's spending a lot more money and wasting your money. Right, so it's a double whammy of how you should have told the machine something you knew about the business because you knew there was going to be a sale, right? It wouldn't have been hard to say, hey, get a bit more aggressive here with the CPA target because we know we're going to make up for it with higher conversion rate. That's just where you got to put the right pieces together. And part of that is manual. And by the way, when people say automated bidding, like really, it's not automated bidding. It's just Google is doing the conversion from CPA target or ROAS target to the CPC bid for the auction. But there's still a lot of levers to pull.
Yeah.
Right. And as we talk about the levers, that's the part of the book. You kind of gave us a breakdown of kind of the history of machine learning at Google and the mindset they've approached it with and how they've transitioned under the new CEO to the focus is AI first, an AI company. So that kind of leaves you going, okay, well, we all agree now, computers do something's good, humans do something's good. But as humans, what are those things we're going to do good? So you've broken it down into three roles. And I love that breakdown in the book. Doctor, pilot, teacher. One of the things I loved is how you said you don't have to be all three. You can gravitate to the one that kind of suits you best. So can you kind of give our audience a breakdown of how you see the human roles in an AI world? And as for PPC managers, doctors, pilots, and teachers, and what those three roles are?
Yeah, so the doctor we covered a bit before, right? So it's about knowing the tools that are out there and how those connect to the problems that the patient, your client has. And then also monitoring and having good bedside manner, right? Reporting, you mentioned, is a pretty big deal to a lot of clients. And that's really what a doctor does. A doctor goes in and might say, hey, listen, we tried medication X and the results are not quite what we were hoping for, but we have a stronger medication, a more aggressive bid management tool. Let's maybe put that to bear. But the doctor also understands you as a client, right? So it says, oh, well, actually, we're going into your most important season of the year. So now might not be a good time to use a very aggressive drug, which could have big side effects. So that's what the doctor does. And then the pilot, second role, actually breaks down into two components. So there's the commercial pilot, whose job it is to make sure that everyone gets safely from point A to point B. And then there's the fighter pilot, who's looking for a competitive edge to bring down the other plane. And so it's interesting because the commercial pilot is really just in charge of making sure that the automated systems, the AI, is doing what it's supposed to. And oftentimes when it doesn't do what it's supposed to, it's because the inputs were incorrect or the measurements were incorrect. Classic example, you're doing automated bidding. Your conversion pixel goes down for whatever reason. Somebody makes a change to your page. The page goes down. Conversion rate tanks. What does smart bidding do? It says, oh, no conversions, bid it down. Yeah. You fix your conversion pixel. It's like, we don't know. We don't see anything better happening because now your ads are on page two. So there's basically no volume to prove that things are fixed. You as the human could have said, oh, ignore these 2 days of data. The machine doesn't. So you keep not having sales. The fighter pilot, on the other hand, that's about knowing how to gain an edge and knowing what your competition's doing, right? So if your competition is using a stupid budget methodology, then you can play on that. You can figure out, how do I get an edge? And that doesn't necessarily have to be AI and machine learning. It could simply be, if you know that your biggest competitor is going to run out of budget 2 days before the end of the quarter because they're really bad at pacing, well, write an automation that takes a lot of your client's budget during those 2 days when conversions are cheap, right? That's your edge. And then the final one is the teacher. So that's the role I think applies least to the majority of listeners. It's the most technical role. And so one thing that, you know, a lot of people probably realize it, but it's sort of an unspoken thing, but machine learning doesn't magically happen, right? Somebody had to build it. And it's a lot of statistics. And even within these statistical models, there's variations. There's ways to tweak them to get better. And by the way, I Google on the quality score team, that was like a huge portion of what the engineers did. It was build a model, look at the results, and if the results were not good, figure out, are we feeding it incomplete data? Or is there something wrong with the calculation of the model? And then go and fix that, right? And so that building the model, that's really difficult. I don't think a lot of people will be doing that. But if you do it, it's highly valuable. But where we can still play a role is teaching the system. And so again, to the example of, say, a ski resort, if you know you're going to have more ski ticket lift sales when it's snowing and it's beautiful weather, well, why don't you figure out how to take those factors and feed them into the machine, be a teacher to the machine so that it gets better?
Fred, I want to run kind of a scenario in my business by you. and see if it makes sense to you as part of the AI world. So I have a dichotomy in my business where my biggest spend accounts, and they're big, where I'm paid the most money, I'm in that commercial and fighter pilot role, and I love it. And the dichotomy is that these have been running for years, so it's not like we're building out new campaigns every day. So the dichotomy is, on my biggest spend accounts, I spend the least amount of physical time, but I'm paid the most for them, versus my small accounts where I have to do more physical work, I'm paid much less on them. And so the pilot thing struck me because I'm managing these huge accounts, making a lot of people a lot of money. The stakes are very high. The competition is very high. But I really have thought of myself as a pilot before I even read the analogy in your book. And I don't do a lot of physical work with my hands day to day. I monitor the situation and then I see opportunities. So one of them is I hear from our clients that when they talk to their friendly competitors, they love Mondays. They have this psychopath idea in their head that Mondays just have huge volume compared to Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So they're like, ramp it up on Monday. We got to get the business on Mondays. And so they bid high and I just kind of sit back and I let them get a super high cost per click. And then as the week goes on, I see them fading. And I in the preview tool, I literally see them go away. I don't see their ads sometimes. And I ramp us up because I know that if they're not there, the biggest competitor, and then I ramp up to the one position, even though when we're position one, if there's not a huge competitor bidding a ton right under us, auction system, we're not going to have to pay as much as we're bidding to be a number one. So does it make sense that I could make the most money I make and do the least amount of physical work in an AI world? Does that make, I'm coming clean here,
that's but beautiful, right?
Does that make sense?
Well, no, but I mean, I never even thought of it this way, but if you think about how much money a pilot makes, right? So there's a stat that the average commercial pilot flies the plane for about 7 minutes per flight.
Right.
Most flights are longer than 7 minutes, right? But the point is their main job is averting disaster. And that's a pretty high stakes game. And now, you know, whether this is right or wrong, but the U.S. government puts a value of a human life at $1 million when it comes to airline safety. So every flight that you have, say 200 passengers. So the pilot is protecting $200 million in value. And that's worth a lot of money, right?
Well, that's how I feel. Like my clients, they don't care if I'm changing keyword A bid up 10% and lowering keyword B's bid down 10%. They want to know, are we making money? Is the system working? And I speak the language. I understand the system. I understand all the inputs. And so even though it's like, well, I guess it, I mean, I'm running manual bids, but I'm testing out automated bids from time to time. And this, the accounts are so old, it almost feels automated at this point. Yeah. So I really connected with that commercial and fighter pilot mode. And that gave me confidence that like, it's almost like all this AI stuff, it's to my advantage because like as Google gets, as it takes less and less manual time to get great results, but more and more like knowledge to kind of see the big picture and know all the inputs, your skills become more valuable per output.
And listen, like what we see in agencies too, is you tend to take on small clients in the beginning and then you get a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one. And eventually you're kind of like maxed out, right? So now you need to put technology and automation into place to even be able to service that book of business. And the first ones you typically cut out are at the very low end. But Google's actually, like I said, if you want average results for the low end, that's very achievable using automation. I mean, smart shopping campaigns, smart campaigns, not the best results in the world, but good enough. And still not that easy to set up in all honesty, because you still have to put in measurements. And that's where your value comes in. And then at the end of the month, reporting back and saying, hey, listen, there's like two or three things Ginny Marvin dropped on us that actually have an impact on this. And they're very small tweaks, but we'll make those tweaks. And we'll continue to make sure that you get some decent results. And now you can actually keep that client by being complementary to technology as opposed to competing with technology. Because if you were to fully manage these small clients by hand, like you wouldn't make any money. But you complement yourself and you kind of position yourself, where is it that we can add just a bit more value? That's huge.
Well, let's kind of, as we wrap up here, I do have kind of a personal question I want to drill you on at the end of the show and get to the bottom of this, because I was in full Sherlock Holmes mode last night. But as Chris and I go forward and as our listeners go forward, whether you're a one-person agency, a consultant, or you've got tons of employees – the question is, like, what do you do from here? And I want to give you my take and see if you think I'm on the right track. So after reading your book, my take is basically like, let the machines do what they're going to do with the data. We can't fight it. Every day, like as we did this podcast for 30 minutes, who knows what they were doing at Google? They're just, it's just rapidly advancing. So don't try to fight it. Go with the flow. Know the platform, know the technology in and out. I don't have to write algorithms. I don't have to know what LiDAR looks like or is or any of this Silicon Valley stuff technically, but I need to know what it is. I need to know it way better than my clients. I kind of have to know about, like, I don't, if I look at my AC unit in my house, I don't know what every little bolt is, but I know how it works. I know how it takes an air. I know how it cools it. So you have to really know the platform better than we know it today and put time into that. And then the other thing we have to do, which a lot of Google Ads managers don't do, they're garbage at it. They're garbage at it, is actually be a good marketer. You have to understand marketing. You have to understand persuasion. You have to understand communication, written, verbal. You have to understand sales. You have to understand getting in with a client deeper and deeper and deeper as they rely on you and kind of being their translator to the system. So that's my take. Really understand the system well, and then really actually get good at marketing and don't just get good at this one little platform. That's kind of my
take going forward.
Is that accurate? Is that what you think?
It's funny too, because sometimes people ask me, so, hey, how are we going to have a job in digital marketing given all this automation? And I look at the room and I'm like, you guys know you're not marketers, right? Like, you're in spreadsheets, you're data analysts, you're quants. Like, that's been your role. That's kind of what the industry has been teaching you to do for the past decade. Mm. You have to become marketers. So to your point, you have to know how to persuade. You have to know your audiences. And that's becoming much more critical because that's what the machine just is not as good at.
Well, Fred, it sounds high reward, like people who figure this out and become the pilots, become the doctors, become the teachers. Sounds really high reward, but it also sounds really competitive and like cutthroat. And like, it sounds like if someone does not know the platform in and out and someone does not become an expert marketer and have that skill set that has nothing to do with computers, it sounds like people who do have those two skills are going to really blow them way out of the water more than they're able to today. Do you see it becoming kind of more competitive in that space, in that sense?
Absolutely. And I think as the world gets flatter and technology, I mean, listen, we're doing a video podcast here. Like 10 years ago, we didn't have the technology to do this, right? So I would have been limited in terms of, if I was going to work with an agency, I'd probably pick someone local, because just having someone on the phone may have not been good enough. I want to see them once in a while. That's no longer the case. So if you're in the middle of nowhere and you're the best at it, you have the best understanding, you have the best strategy, the best workflow and process. There.
This guy right here in the middle of nowhere.
So, all right.
Everyone, the book is on Amazon. We're going to link to it. Digital Marketing in an AI World, Future-Proofing Your PPC Agency. Strongly recommend it. So Chris, let's talk about search terms. And as we close up here,
let's get the truth.
Chris, why don't you explain to Fred, like, how basically our business model to this point in time has been understanding search terms, wowing clients with that information. And then that's basically all we've had to do to this point.
Right. One time we had an episode where we talked about what's the secret? Like, what do you guys do? Like, let's get past all the fluff and all the things that, you know, the bidding and all this kind of thing. Like, what is it that really, really matters? The nitty gritty bottom level stuff. And we're like, we talked for basically an hour, 45 minutes about search terms. It's like, we get our search terms clean. We make sure that they're at the right level, the right part of the funnel, the right kind of terms. We're blocking things. We're adding things. And so for us, Jason and I, when it gets down to it, it feels like we just are managers of search terms. And it is what I think about. People think I know about Google Ads, but really, I'm just a search terms watcher. You know, search queries. That's, you know, whatever. They changed the word.
That's the fourth role you need to play in a future world of PPC. Search terms watcher.
Yeah, it's not a joke. Like, I sit around my mansion because of Google Ads, and I'm like, man, I was a loser like 8 years ago. I was just a stone cold loser. And thank God for search terms, because search terms is like the secret to everything. It's how I made all this money. So I'm just like, thank God for search terms, but God didn't make search terms. Google made search terms. And then someone at Google must have made search terms. And then I'm reading this book last night, and it goes into your history at your work at Google. And it said you were like advertising at the same time as working Google, and then you were giving them advice because you saw it from an advertiser perspective. And then it said, I created search terms reports. And then I was like, what? Is this the guy? And so I needed to get some clarity. Like, are you my search terms god? Like,
am I the god who gave you that beautiful house?
Yes. Like, yeah. What happened?
Okay, here, so I can't take Google's I joined it when it was 500 people, right? And then it grew pretty quickly. So I certainly can't take credit for having invented it or having built it single-handedly. Mm. But yeah, it was, so the story is that I was advertising. So I basically joined Google and I was like, oh my God, like these affiliates are spending a lot of money. So they must be making a lot of money. So there must be something to this. So I started dabbling with some affiliate stuff. And of course, eBay, huge at the time, I started advertising for them. And what people would do is they would dump the dictionary of keywords and start running ads. But then I'm like, well, I know it's not exactly what people type into the search box. I want to know what they type in. I want to know what the performance of that is. I want to know how many of those clicks also convert. And so I started building my own JavaScript technology, put little click trackers that would put the query into a database and then later on reported that returned into a conversion, and built it for myself so I could make more money. And we're like, well, most advertisers should probably have access to something like this. Kind of makes sense. And so then I started working with the product team and was like, okay, here's how I do it. Here's why it matters. And that was always the evangelist role, right? It was connecting what people in an ivory tower kind of build from a technology perspective, but how the actual advertisers would want to use it and what are the missing pieces, and kind of bridging that gap.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And they can take my average position. They can loosen up exact match, but they can't take those search terms from me. I need my search.
Cold dead hands.
Cold dead hands. So Fred, thank you for coming on today. Another thing I got from the book is you are a NBE. You're a natural born entrepreneur. You just can't be held back. You're always coming up with new ideas, solving new problems. So as we get more and more into AI, I know you're working on things. I know you got something planned. So we're going to keep watching you. We're going to keep watching you at Optimizer. And I'm excited to see what you come up with in the future.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff in the works. So stay tuned. Thanks.
All right, Fred. Well, thanks for coming on. Everyone, check out the book. We'll have links to it. And we'll be back next week with the Paid Search Podcast.